Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service. Our sermon series is entitled Healing and Wholeness. Our speaker today is Mike Gillingham, reader at St. James. The talk is entitled Physical and Inner Healing. The readings this week are taken from Luke 8, verses 42 to 48, and James 5, verses 13 to 18. You can watch the whole service on our YouTube channel, which is linked on our website.
So the first reading comes from Luke chapter 8, verse 42b to 48. But immediately before this, Jesus had been going through cities and villages preaching about the kingdom of God. And this passage comes as Jairus asks Jesus to come and heal his dying daughter. As Jesus went along, the people were crowding him from every side. Among them was a woman who had suffered from severe bleeding for 12 years. She had spent all she had on doctors, but no one had been able to cure her. She came up in the crowd behind Jesus and touched the edge of his cloak, and her bleeding stopped at once. Jesus asked, "Who touched me?" Everyone denied it, and Peter said, "Master, the people are all around you and crowding in on you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me, for I knew it when power went out of me." The woman saw that she had been found out, so she came, trembling, and threw herself at Jesus' feet. There, in front of everybody, she told him why she had touched him and how she had been healed at once. Jesus said to her, "My daughter, take courage. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading is from James chapter 5, verses 13 to 18. And I'm reading from the Message. Are you hurting? Pray. Do you feel great? Sing. Are you sick? Call the church leaders together to pray and anoint you with oil in the name of the Master. Believing prayer will heal you, and Jesus will put you on your feet. And if you've sinned, you'll be forgiven, healed inside and out. Make this your common practice. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you can live together whole and healed. The prayer of a person living right with God is something powerful to be reckoned with. Elijah, for instance, human, just like us, prayed hard that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't. Not a drop for 3.5 years. Then he prayed that it would rain, and it did. The showers came, and everything started growing again. This is the word of the Lord.
Let us pray. Our Father, as we look at your word, may it lighten our lives, and may we follow that light as you lead us on. Amen. I'll be concentrating on the Luke passage here. It's just a simple story about Jesus' healing power. Even though the lady just touched Jesus' cloak, she was healed. Just a simple story. Oh, no, it isn't. Sorry, I've been practicing the pantomime for a bit. But the superficial is not there. There's a lot in this story. We're fortunate in having some visual aids in the church. This story comes, as Sue said, to an interruption. The middle there shows Jesus raising Jairus' daughter from the dead. So the leader of the synagogue, wow, comes to Jesus, the most important person in the area. And Jesus knows he's going to raise the leader's daughter from the dead. How wonderful, how important. And what an opportunity for the gospel. You do something for the leader of the synagogue, and maybe everybody who goes to the synagogue will listen to you. The woman is just somebody in the crowd. But Jesus isn't hurried. He's not concerned about who he's dealing with. Ah, good. I take it that that's Jairus. I, looking at the stained glass, go and see what you think later. He's not concerned who he's dealing with. He has time for everybody. He has something important to do, but he's not distracted from meeting a need. What about us? When we're doing something important, perhaps something wonderful for the church, are we in too much hurry to notice the nobodies around us? It's a question for us. I'm often too distracted to think of other people. I'm not very sensitive. In some ways, Jesus is acting out the parable of the Good Samaritan, although that will come in a couple of chapters' time. More from our windows. It could well have been one of the motives of those who passed by, and yes, I do know it's possibly a fictional story, not necessarily a true one, but one of the motives could well have been that they had important things to do. Oh, I'm on my way, I'm rushing, I've got something really important to do. I can't notice this person there who isn't important. Are we too impressed by important things to notice what God has put in front of us? Jesus was so sensitive that he could see this opportunity to help somebody and wasn't overawed by the fact that he had somebody really important, the most important person in the neighborhood, to help. How would we have reacted? How would I have reacted if I met somebody in trouble on the way here this morning? Oh, I've got to preach a sermon. I've got something important to do. I need to rush. I can't stop and help you now, but I would help you another time, perhaps. Jesus wasn't like that. I really like this picture. It's from a chapel in the Holy Land. Can you see the hand? That's all we see of her. This lady is of no importance. We don't see her face here. In the gospel, we don't know her name. We know virtually nothing about her. But she had so many problems. Once she was rich. Actually, what I asked Sue, she would read from a slightly doctored version of the Good News Bible, because I looked at lots of translations and they keep leaving bits out, and they leave out this bit. They leave out the fact that once she was rich. The Authorized Version is the best translation, but I thought that language might put quite a few people off. So most modern versions leave out the bit about the doctors. Among them was a woman who had been suffered from severe bleeding for 12 years. She spent all she had on doctors, but no one had been able to cure her. They just talk about vague someones. Now, one of the things we know is that we have a great deal to be grateful for in our National Health Service. I probably wouldn't be here because I doubt if my parents could have afforded the operation that saved my life when I was three. And there's quite a few people here too who couldn't have afforded the doctors to cure them. But thanks, National Health Service, we can. But none there and none in lots of the world. And you need to be rich. She had doctors. And in case you like the Greek, Luke, oh yes, the author of the Gospel, is described as Luke, our dear doctor. Iatros. Pardon my pronunciation, I'm not really very... The only difference is here it's plural, doctors. So she once was very wealthy, but it says she spent all she had on doctors. Once she was rich, now she was poor. Must have been a great change. Once she was healthy, now she was weak. The perpetual bleeding would have meant she suffered from anemia all the time, and everything was an effort. Oh, you mentioned, Richard, you mentioned ME. Very similar, really. Just weak, and it's day after day. Everything is an effort. As a child, she must have been well and well looked after because she was part of a rich family, remember? Now, everything was an effort. Once she had hopes of marriage, but now that was impossible. Now, I don't want to get embroiled in any arguments about whether it's a good thing that in those days any woman would have expected to get married, and that was actually a fact. She, in that society, she would have been expecting to get married. She would have been expecting to have children and look after a family. That was her expectation. Now that's impossible. It's even possible that she was married and divorced, because she would have been. And that's the hardest thing of all, perhaps. Once she was respectable, part of a very respected family, rich family. But now she was despised. Why had that happened to her? She would have few or no friends. It would be a great stigma. Nobody could touch her because she was unclean. And that may have been, too, one of the reasons that the people in the parable of the Good Samaritan passed by. If they touched the man, they would have been ritually unclean. It was presumably one of the reasons that the woman didn't come out and meet Jesus face to face. Once she was looking forward, now totally without hope. She was at an end, down and out. But although once she was hopeless, now she had faith in Jesus. She had heard all Jesus had done. He was her last resort. And she thought that he was so powerful, he could heal her. And so it happened. That hand out, touching the cloak. And Jesus asked, "Who touched me?" She was healed. It was all over. But again, that's not how it was. Jesus might have healed her and let her go. After all, the problem seemed ended. But Jesus would not half heal her. He keeps pressing it in. Peter says, "Well, you know, look, there's so many people. dozens of people must have touched you. But Jesus insists. Just think, if he'd let her be just healed of the bleeding and go, she would have felt guilty for the rest of her life. She had made Jesus unclean. She had sort of robbed her healing from him. She wouldn't have been able to tell anybody about it. It would have been her own guilty secret. She would have been ashamed. And goodness knows whether people would have accepted that she was healed. And so she sees that she'd been found out. She came trembling and threw herself at Jesus' feet. Can you imagine what she's done? What has she done to Jesus? She's made him unclean. And there in front of everybody, she told him why she had touched him and how she had been healed at once. And what was the result of that? Well, first of all, everybody knew that she'd been healed. Everybody knew her problem was over. She could have friends. She could be accepted in society. She was no longer despised and rejected. She was lifted up. And Jesus gives her a new dignity. My daughter. I don't know the Greek well enough, but it's an affectionate term. How long is it? How many years since somebody had addressed it in an affectionate manner? Once she was despised, now she was respected. Jesus respected her, and so would the others around. Jesus said to her, "My daughter, take courage. Your faith has made you well." Do you know, a lot of the translations leave out this "take courage" bit. Just they leave out the doctor's bit. Why? Take courage. Jesus praises her faith. Your faith has made you well. Once she was weak, now she was healthy. And Jesus goes further. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Go in peace. Things are sorted now. Go in peace. So she could start again. Once she was hopeless. Now she had faith in Jesus and a new life was before her. She could make those plans. She was fully healed, not half healed. And that's what Jesus wants for all of us, to be fully healed, not half healed. Later, Peter calls us. In one of his letters, he says, of the church, and he's writing to the church in general, you are a chosen people. Hang on a second. Just remember, that's us. All of us here. We are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that we may declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. A royal priesthood. I want to think about that. Priests have two functions. Look at the priests of the Old Testament. They represent the people to God, and they represent God to the people. That's what we have to do. We are those who will bring people to God in prayer. And we are the people who will bring God down to those around us. So that's a duty and our joy. And whenever we meet, this is what we're called to pray, to do. Is any among you in trouble? They should pray. And that you, English is a poor language, we don't have plurals. It's a plural you. Is any amongst you that's us lot, in trouble, they should pray. We should pray for people. We're going to, in a short time, pray for people. That's important. It's part of our duty as a royal priesthood. And if we're happy, we should rejoice. And so we should. We do sometimes. Yesterday, happy birthday rang out from the organ. And it's rung out many times here. We should join in rejoicing with people. But praise time is a time for all of us. All of us who are making a new start. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we pray that you would fully heal us, not half. And we pray that you would help us to be like you, caring for others, showing concern for all, whether high and mighty or low and depressed, so that we may bring your healing to this wounded world. Amen.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website www.stjamestaunton.co.uk and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.